to the Senate Committee on Human Services. Senator Umberg's SR-8 has been pulled from the agenda, so we will not be hearing that resolution today. We will be taking action on three bills, one of which, Senator Wilk, is on consent. And we will go ahead, since we don't have a quorum, we will start as a subcommittee. And we have Senator Jackson here to present Senate Bill 280. Welcome, Senator Jackson, and to your witnesses. We ask that witnesses keep their testimony to 2 to 3 minutes. Please begin when you are ready.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and member. I guess members, I sit on this committee as well. First, let me indicate that I will be accepting the proposed amendments on page 10 of the analysis and appreciate the work of the committee staff in assisting on this measure. You know, this is a bill that really just basically tries to fulfill the adage that a stitch in time saves nine. This is SB 280, the Dignity at Home Act, which seeks to allow more seniors and disabled individuals to age in place and stay in their own homes through the use of home modifications that simply reduce the risk of falling. 1,000 people every day in California turn 65 years of age. We are now an aging state, what is sometimes referred to as a negative birth rate state. And as a result, we are aging as a population and need to address some of the realities that take place as one ages and turns 65 years of age. Seniors are more likely to fall, obviously, and seriously injure themselves than, let's say, a two-year-old who bounces back and has no clue that they've just hurt themselves, because, frankly, they're less likely to hurt themselves with a fall than someone who is aging and suffering through the ravages or the challenges of that aging experience. 33% of all falls among older adults involve hazards at home. One-third of the falls that seniors experience is as a result of a fall at home due to things like poor lighting, loose carpet, a lack of safety equipment, things like grab bars, stair rails, high toilets, for example. They are a particular risk. 80% of the falls that happen to adults at home happen in the bathroom. So this bill does two things to help seniors and those with disabilities make their homes safer and a place that will accommodate them for years to come. First, this bill authorizes the Department of Aging to issue grants to our area agencies on aging for injury prevention services in the home. This is the stitch in time. These grants can be used to make improvements around the home, things that I just mentioned which are causes of falls, things like poor lighting, things like adding grab bars or just simply nailing down carpet that people wouldn't necessarily think to do. Small improvements like this, frankly, can make the difference between aging in place and experiencing a potential future being institutionalized. We do not have adequate home facilities now for our aging population, so it behooves us to do everything we can to assist seniors so that they can age and age with dignity in their own homes. Second, this measure asks the Department of Housing and Community Development during the next triennial building standards rulemaking cycle to develop and propose for adoption by the California Building Standards Commission's building standards requiring fall prevention structural features to be in place for single and multifamily dwellings to prevent falls and to facilitate aging in place. These features could include things like one ground level entry, wide interior doors, adequate space in bathrooms and kitchens for maneuverability of chairs, for example, blocking in bathrooms to allow future grab bar installation, reachable electric controls, and a step-free path through the entire ground floor. Simple measures like this, as California continues to age, we will be able to use to help people prevent those falls and the extraordinary costs associated with them. In fact, in the United States today, it's estimated that we spend $50 billion a year addressing what happens when seniors fall in this country. We can do better, And it is my hope that as we move this legislation forward, we are able to recognize that a stitch in time does indeed save nine. And with me today is Ann Warren, representing the bill sponsor, the California Senior Legislature, as well as Maxine Mantell from the National Multiple Sclerosis Association, Society.
Thank you. I'm Ann Warren, and I am substituting for the author of this bill, who had to be out of town. So some of the comments that I make are her comments, but I agree with them wholeheartedly. She says that her own passion for advocating for fall-safe housing stems from her experience with her stepmother, who shattered her femur as a result of a fall. She had to stay in the nursing home until her leg was fully recovered for many months, as her house could not accommodate her in a wheelchair. Her husband was unable to care for her in the home, and as the wheelchair could not fit through any of the doors inside or outside, she was not able to visit friends who use wheelchairs into her home to visit, thus making her more isolated. Given California's need to dramatically increase available housing, this is a perfect time for the state to make that housing more age and disability friendly. By incorporating falls prevention or specific accessible features into the state building standards for all of California's housing. Making these changes will allow residents to stay in their homes as they age and allows families to easily bring elder members into their home as they need additional support. As I look around my community, I live in San Francisco, and the neighborhood that I live in is multi-generational. There are seniors who bought the house, and now the children have moved in because the seniors can no longer live there alone. That is the reality throughout the state, I do believe. Fall-safe features can easily cost much less costly when built in the original design of the housing development and individual homes rather than retrofitting. I was looking at my own home this morning and wondering, how could we retrofit my house so that I could stay in it? And I noticed that there were some things that could be put into the building standards, like when we build the opening for the bathrooms, let's say, their standard bathroom size. However, we could increase the width of it, or at least give some space on the side of the door that it could be expanded, and we could make it wheelchair accessible. But if we start now, as the housing is being built, and more housing is being built as a result of the housing crisis, this is the time to put it in action. I know in San Francisco, they will be introducing a bond to build senior housing, but they're also building other housing, and we want to make all housing available for seniors as they age. We ask that you do approve this bill and vote it to the next committee. Thank you.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Maxine Mantell, and I'm here on behalf of the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. SB 280 is an important bill for people disabled with multiple sclerosis. MS is a chronic and often disabling disease of the central nervous system that typically is diagnosed in young adulthood. MS is a puzzling and unpredictable disease that varies widely in its impact, not only from person to person, but also in the same individual at different times. MS can impair muscle strength and sensation, balance, coordination, gait, and cause significant disabling disease. Studies consistently find that over 50% of people with MS have fallen down in a 3 to 6 month period, and 30 to 50% have fallen multiple times in that same time period. The Centers for Disease Control estimates that falls are the most preventable cause of nursing facility placement. Modest investments in home modification can save money increase safety, improve accessibility, and allow people with MS to maintain independence in their own home, continue to work, and be active in their community. Without such modifications, many people are forced to move after falls and injuries. Safety precautions, such as grab bars in showers or near toilets, allow continued independence by avoiding accidents that lead to injuries and hospital stays. The investment in other modifications, such as ramps at entrance doors, grab rails along stairs, raised toilets, and lowered light switches, allows a disabled individual continued independence and saves money in the long run by allowing people to age in place. The cost of modifying a home to make it accessible varies widely. This grant program, as well as the fall prevention building standards established through Senate Bill 280, will provide valuable assistance in enhancing accessibility and keeping people with MS and other disabilities safe in their homes. The National MS Society urges you to support SB 280.
I'd like to go ahead and establish a quorum. Can we please call the roll?
Hurtado?
Aye.
Hurtado here. Stone?
Here.
Stone here. Bell?
Here.
Bell here. Jackson?
Here.
Jackson here. Pan?
Here.
Pan here. Wiener?
Here.
Wiener here.
We have established a quorum. Thank you. So do we have any additional witnesses in support?
All right. Kelly Brooks, I'm here this afternoon on behalf of the County Welfare Directors Association and the Ventura County Board of Supervisors. Pleased to be here in support.
Teresa Anderson on behalf of the ARC and United Cerebral Palsy California Collaboration here in support. Thank you.
Do we have any witnesses in opposition?
Yes, Madam Chair. I'm Bob Raymer, representing the California Building Industry Association, and we have serious concerns only with the building standard portion of the bill. First, I'd like to cover what we can support. We've already informed HCD that we can support the lowering of the light switches and the HVAC controls. In addition, the installation of grab bar support backing in all of the bathrooms in the dwelling is something that can easily be done at time of construction. However, we do take issue with the requirement for all interior doors to be made wider and for the clear space requirements in kitchens and bathrooms. These two items in their combination will effectively require us to have to redesign just about every single family plan that's out there right now. I would estimate that at least 95% of the plans that are existing today would have to be redesigned. To increase the widths of the door, imagine when you go to your house that each of your doors are now about 6 inches wider. That's what HCD would be calling for if they went forward with the same requirements that are required in apartments right now. Effectively, that's going to be eating up space that you would have for your closet. And for the clear space requirements in the bathrooms and kitchens, you're effectively going to have to be moving the wall out about 2 feet from where it is now. Now, there's two ways to comply with this. You'll either have to increase the overall size of the dwelling unit by about 40 to 50 square feet in total, or you'll have to simply take area out of the more marketable areas in the house, i.e. closets and bedrooms. So we plan to continue to work with the author. We were just notified that this bill may be up as soon as next Tuesday in Senate Housing. We're trying to develop some set of amendments to propose to the author and to Senate Housing Committee staff, but 3 or 4 days is very little time to do that. Anyway, if you've got any questions, I can provide answers. Thank you.
Do we have any additional opposition in the audience? Seeing none, do we have any questions from committee members? Senator Stone.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Jackson, I certainly appreciate what you're trying to do. And 50% of seniors that fall and break their hip have a 50% mortality rate. So it's very important that we do what we can to try to avoid falls. I also dabble a lot in real estate. I like going through new home developments to kind of see what's going on. And it's amazing to me how many developers are already incorporating a lot of common sense improvements that certainly are less expensive in the front end instead of going back and retrofitting on the back end. I support virtually everything in the bill except the fall prevention building standards. In many of these developments that I go see, if you want to have wider doors and smaller closets as a result, or it's usually an option that you can do. The building industry has mentioned they have to go back and redo all of their plans, and something has got to give. But one thing that won't go down is the price, and we're facing an affordability crisis here in California. And while it'd be great to say that we could have all these improvements and it's not going to add to the cost of homes, I'm a realist and know that it will increase the price of homes. And it's okay if somebody's willing to pay it and wants to have these portability options for them as they age, or when they sell their house, if they sell to an aged couple. But I'm concerned about all of us that are concerned about the high cost of housing, and the most expensive pretty much in the continental United States, and I'm worried that this will have an effect on that. So are you willing to work with the opposition on this? And
I'm always willing to work with the opposition on a bill. We just got it sometime last week, and of course happy to try to address concerns. No one wants to make the cost of housing more expensive. Part of what we were thinking of, and if I may, Senator, my husband and I bought our house 35 years ago. Little did we expect that at some point in time we would want to or need to put a grab bar into the shower, which we did about a year ago. And my husband, who is now 35 years older than he was when we bought our house, slipped and fell and completely tore his rotator cuff. So when you think about the costs associated with the visits, the rehabilitation, I think it's ruined his golf game, but probably that was long gone before his rotator cuff problem. Obviously, if we can be prepared and anticipate to the extent we can do it reasonably and logically, so that basically all that needed to be done was to have in the shower the ability at some point in mm-hmm. time, the way the house to be constructed, would allow for that grab bar if appropriate or necessary. And that's basically what we're talking about, is that as we build new housing, we keep in mind that at some point in time, God forbid, we have a family member who suffers from MS or some debilitating situation that requires them to be transported in a chair, for example, just to have those options available at the most opportune price possible. So certainly I appreciate that the opposition sees the good intentions and the positive aspects of this, and I'm certainly happy to work with them to see if we can't come to an even better understanding about what we can do. Because the goal, again, when it costs $50 billion annually, as you mentioned, 50% of those people fall, they never recover, mm-mm. or they yeah. end up in institutional care yeah. where either Medi-Cal or Medicare is paying for it. A grab bar can, you know, cost as little as a few hundred dollars, and right. the thousands that are saved, to say nothing of the quality of life of the people who suffer from those events. And as you know, being someone who's very acutely aware in the medical field, you know, we lose our balance as we age, and these kinds of things become more and more prevalent. So happy to work with them, appreciate their willingness to do so as well.
Well, I appreciate that, and owning a lot of senior-only units myself, I occasionally get seniors to come in and say, well, we'd like to lease this place from you, but we'd sure like to have grab bars, you know, in the showers or the bathtubs. And just to let you know, it's about $100. I mean, it's really inexpensive to put them in, even, you know, without having them as a part of a mandate to put them in when you're building a brand new home. Right. So I look forward to you working with them. I won't be able to support it today until I see that there's some agreement with our building standards, but I do appreciate the scope and goal of what you're trying to do here today.
And again, if I may, the notion is that you don't necessarily have to put the grab bar in immediately. It's just that the structure of the house has to accommodate it if you do at some point decide to put one in.
Thank you, and I want to thank you, Senator Jackson, for bringing this forward. I know that we had talked about last year about something in the budget as well, particularly around the issues of, for example, like grab bars and other types of devices, which really do both save money and save lives. And actually, I appreciate Senator Stone bringing up that study. I actually worked on at least, I don't know if it's that specific study, but a study that actually showed, that was the first to demonstrate that falls that lead to hip fractures led to high mortality rate when I was in college way back then. So I actually did some research, a long time ago, but I did research in geriatrics before I went to pediatrics in medicine. So I think, I certainly appreciate this bill and what you're trying to accomplish here and generally support it. I do hope you do work with the building folks. This is probably more of an issue when it gets to housing, and I think Senator Wiener, I'm sure, will weigh in on that when it gets to that point. I think I do share some of Senator Stone's concerns about, I think that to the degree that we can make a house ready for so people can age in place, I think it's a good thing. When I hear 40 square feet that has to be added to the house, to make wider hallways and other types of things. And then I start thinking, well, if it's a two-story house or one-story house, how much benefit we're really getting? We obviously want to have things, and the cost that might be associated with that. Maybe think whether there's a smarter is not the right word, but think about what the trade-offs are in terms of that. But certainly, I think making it grab bar ready and being able to have money to help people get grab bars and other types of things, and some lowering the slice, all those things that can be done fairly, I think, simply and would be certainly something we want as our state is aging. So I want to thank you so much for bringing this bill forward, and be happy to move it at the appropriate time.
Senator Wiener? Okay, well, thank you, Senator Jackson. Would you like to close?
Just briefly, I appreciate the discussion. Again, the goal is not to increase the cost of housing, but to make it more accessible as we age. And if we're so lucky as to be living in the same home that we bought when we were young and foolish, and when we get older and grayer, certainly I think that that is the ultimate goal, and I look forward to working with the opposition as to come to some sort of consensus on the best way to proceed. With that, I would ask for your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator Jackson. Senator Pan has moved the bill. The motion is to pass as amended to Senate Housing Committee, SB 280. Secretary, please call the roll.
Hurtado?
Aye.
Hurtado, aye. Stone?
No.
Stone, no. Bell?
Aye.
Bell, aye. Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye. Wiener?
Aye.
Wiener, aye. That's 5-0. 5-0.
5-0.
5-1. Oh, 5-1. Yeah, 5-1. Yeah. Sorry.
The vote is 5-1. The bill is out. So now we have Senator Hertzberg's SB 258, here to present. Welcome, Senator Hertzberg, and to your witnesses. We ask that the witnesses keep their testimony 2 to 3 minutes. Please begin when you are ready.
Accept the committee amendments, Madam Chair. Our government has been dealing for some time in many respects on the issue of people who find themselves homeless. We had committee hearings during the interim. Can't recall the committee. I went and attended, and there were 76 programs in the state of California for homelessness of some sort. In Los Angeles, we passed Measure HHH at the county, H at the city. We just passed the Steinberg deal of $2 billion for people who will find themselves homeless with mental issues. $4 billion recently on a bond issue. I think Senator Bell's issue was that. We had $500 million last year, and we have money for all sorts of things. But the reality is, and the frustration that I have experienced has, how do you translate that to action? When I go into the communities that I represent, people are angry. They're saying, we're voting for all this stuff. We have said we will increase our taxes, we will authorize bonds, we will do all this stuff, and what is transpiring? And so I began to focus on what are the things that we can do in the human condition, broadly speaking, if you will, that impact people's lives, that can impact the process, the issue of people who find themselves homeless as quickly as possible. I talked to Senator Wiener during the break on this a little bit, I think, if I remember correctly. And what we found in the community as I was traveling through all the neighborhood councils and talking to folks who found themselves homeless was, as was suggested to me elegantly, people aren't going to go out into a shelter and leave their best friend on the street. And sometimes their best friend is a pet. And so the idea here was to start out with every neighborhood council, every place in the San Fernando Valley, this is something that everybody gets. And it's, you know, in Los Angeles, I'm told that it could be as high as 25% of people with pets. So here we are in L.A. County, you got 22%, some facilities, some nice, with 22% with open beds because people won't go because they're not going to leave their best friend on the streets. And so this is the first step of putting $5 million. I'd like you to make it a lot bigger, quite frankly, of a grant program, accepting your amendments as to where the money's to go, to be able to provide services and availability to people when they go in to these facilities. They can bring their pets with them, and often it begins to help them, as I'm told, to get off the street. As they can get services for their pets, they can also help themselves in that regard. And it's, quite frankly, considering the billions and billions of debt dollars that we've authorized, general funds dollars that we've authorized, and new taxes that we've authorized, this to me is something that, is both ends of the leash kind of a bill, and I'm just really proud of it. It's not a gigantic number by orders of magnitude, but I think given the challenges that we're facing for people that find themselves homeless, it is the right and appropriate thing to do. With this, I will turn this over to my witnesses, whoever wants to start first. No, here?
I'll go. Okay. Good afternoon. My name is Gina Knapp, and I manage the Front Street Animal Shelter for the city of Sacramento, and I'm here today to urge you to support Senate Bill 258. The human-animal bond is incredibly powerful. And if you have pets, think about them right now. According to the New England Journal of Medicine, a report was published back in 2017 that stated the loss of a beloved pet can impair our emotional and physical health, oftentimes worse than the loss of a spouse, which I found pretty amazing. But whether you live in a house or you live in a tent along the American River makes no difference. Your bond and your relationship with your pet is absolutely not different, and I can attest to that firsthand. The bond's often even stronger for people experiencing homelessness, not just companionship and protection, but purpose, something to live for and something to care for. And I've heard it over and over, if I didn't have my pet, I don't think I could survive on the street. It is a reason to go on living for them in many cases. In 2018, and spanning back to 2012 when I first took this position, I'm just looking at 2018, the Front Street Animal Shelter has invested through general fund, grants, fundraising, about $28,000 just this last year on pharmaceutical products, crates, food, leashes, even some behavior training so pets can be good companions to and prevent being a barrier from housing. And that was just at the Winter Triage Shelter up on Railroad. That does not include our labor costs, does not include those animals that came to us and had to be impounded because their owners were either hospitalized or incarcerated, which happens frequently. These are the animals that are most at risk in our communities to end up in our shelter. I can attest firsthand again, people will refuse medical aid if it means they have to give up their pets, literally willing to die before they leave their animals. Often their animals eat before they do. We all know homelessness is an epidemic, and we do have to consider both ends of the leash, which I coined. I don't know who stole that phrase from me. But the need is real, and the results could potentially make a difference for the state of California, so I urge your support. Thank you.
Hi. Thank you, Chairwoman Hurtado, members of the committee, for this opportunity to speak. My name is Janet Hendrickson. I'm a licensed nurse practitioner, and I also happen to have a license as a physician assistant. I'm also the president and founder of Changing the Streets. We are a Sacramento-based nonprofit organization whose mission is to help underserved communities through healthcare in the spirit of the One Health Initiative. The One Health Initiative is a comprehensive approach to looking at multiple professions working together to deliver healthcare, looking at how animals, people, and the environment all work together. Our first project that we are implementing is a collaboration with a federally qualified health center, One Community Health, located in Midtown Sacramento, and Wind Youth Services. We hold a monthly veterinary clinic when I also deliver human health care at the same time. Through these clinics, and also as a primary care provider in my past as at FQHCs, and even when I worked in the emergency department as a provider, I could see the bond between people and their animals. Many of my patients have told me that they have foregone their medications, their food, and they have definitely turned down a place to live because they could not take their animal. Their animal was the most important thing to them. I urge your support on this bill and your yes vote. Thank you. Thank you. And, oh, thank you, Senator Hertzberg, for support.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will now open for public comment on the bill. Is there anyone here in the audience who would like to express support?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members. Jennifer Fearing, I'd like to testify first on behalf of myself as a member of the Sacramento community. This is a really important bill. I'm so grateful that we have such leaders in our community, that Sacramento is setting such a high bar and standard on this issue, and that Senator Hertzberg has seen the wisdom of taking that, making funds available for others in the state. But I'm also fortunate to have clients in the Best Friend Animal Society, San Diego Humane Society, and the San Francisco SPCA that also urge your support. Thank you.
Paula Treat, on behalf of myself and my support for our local shelter, I wholeheartedly support this bill.
Kelly Brooks, on behalf of the Santa Cruz County Board of Supervisors, here in support.
Madam Chair and members, Madison Dwelly on behalf of Mars Incorporated and Mars Pet Care in support.
Nicholas Sackett, representing Social Compassion Legislation in support.
Okay. See no additional support. I'd like to invite witnesses in opposition to come forward.
You won't see any.
Nope, see none. Do members of the committee have any questions for the author?
He was. He was first.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just real fast, and I'll defer to my colleagues. Senator Hertzberg, you mentioned that for many of these homeless people, I call them the forgotten people, that they're not going to leave their best friend behind. And for many of them, it's not just their best friend, it's their only relative. It's the only love that they experience in a very cruel and cold world. And I see in my district, certainly, where we have a homeless problem, just like everywhere else in the state, that many, probably about 25 or 30%, as was mentioned, have pets, and they take care of the pets before they even take care of themselves. So this is a beautiful piece of legislation. I'm happy that you're bringing it forward, and I'm very impressed with what you're doing in Sacramento. It's going to set, I think, a model for the state, and I think we're going to see more people get housing with incorporating this funding so that their canine or feline companions can be with them. And so at the appropriate time, I'd like to move the bill.
Thank you, Senator Storm. Senator Weiner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you to the author for bringing this forward. I'd actually be interested in being a co-author. As you know, we did sit down and speak about this, and I think this is great. And as we also discussed, I have a bill, SB 48, that sets standards for homeless shelters, and one of them is to start moving the entire shelter system towards being more pet-friendly, because you're 100% right. It's one of the significant barriers that we see in helping get people off the streets and the shelter. So I look forward to working together. Hopefully these can both move forward and we can make some real change. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Thanks for your work on this.
Senator Jackson?
Yes, thank you. I want to preface this by saying I'm a lifetime dog owner. I understand this completely. My only concern is how are we going to go about doing this? Because a lot of people who are homeless don't have the resources to care for their animals, to provide the necessary medical treatment, to the vaccinations, the care, et cetera. And my concern is that they come into a shelter and the animal has you know, some kind of condition that is potentially transferable. Is there some protocol that can be developed so that we can make sure that if people bring their animals in and then you have someone who brings in a sick animal, that they're not going to transmit that illness to the other animals there? Because that's the quickest way to get people to say, forget it, I'd rather be on the street.
That's right.
So in this program, is there some discussion about how you're going to go about making sure, first of all, the opportunity to get these animals the medical care that they need to have anyway, or should have, but do it in a way that protects the other animals who might be in the shelter?
Thank you, Senator. That's exactly correct. To qualify for a grant, a shelter must have three things. First, shelter, food, and basic veterinary services for pets of the homeless, of the people that find themselves homeless. Two, shelters must establish certain requirements, such as rules of conduct and responsibility regarding pets and their owners, crating or kenneling, either bunks or in separate areas, and food for people experiencing homelessness with animals. And three, shelters would also need to have access to a shelter vet and offer spay and neuter services. So the idea of having the vet and those services as part of it would be the requirements to qualify for one of these grants that they would apply for.
I guess my only concern, if I may, through the chair, is spay and neuter, very important, but I'm concerned about pets who might come in with some kind of communicable problem that could run through the shelter. So is there some, when you say general services, can you maybe be a little bit more specific, just so we can make sure that that these animals are not going to be exposing other pets to potential serious problems that we know sometimes do exist?
Well, I think we could put some more definition around it, but the idea of requiring a shelter vet, of having a vet there to be able to examine the animals and the like, I assume as a result of their experiences, a veterinarian would then make those determinations as any good medical professional would and set up those standards. I think that's what we mean by setting up those standards with a shelter vet.
I would feel a little more comfortable. I'm going to vote for the bill, but I'd feel a little more comfortable if you could be a little bit more specific about sort of addressing that potential problem so that it is covered immediately and without the risks that might otherwise take place, which I know you don't want, but I know that there are instances, a dog will come in with mange, for example, or some condition, and I think that as much of this is a specific requirement that whoever's going to provide those veterinary services is going to look almost immediately to make sure that there's no, that these animals will not be a danger or be transmitting potentially dangerous or fatal illnesses to the other animals or people in the facility.
I can speak to that. The city of Sacramento opened the winter triage shelter that became winter, spring, summer, fall, as you all know, December 8th, 2017. And since then, there have probably been about 300 animals go through. We have protocols for checking in. The animal's fully vetted, vaccinated, once over, dewormed, flea treated, completely vetted with vaccinations, and we monitor biweekly to make sure there's no disease. We had, in all that time since then, 14 months, 15 months, one puppy was brought in with parvo, and that was dealt with. The clients themselves, the guests, are trained to look for disease, and they're also trained how to appropriately disinfect, just like herd health in an animal shelter. So I think that'd be a very easy thing to incorporate.
Good. Thank you.
Senator Bell?
The youth drop-in center in San Jose is run by the Bill Wilson Center. And a few years ago, when I was a county supervisor, I visited to look at a program for young women that were runaway youths, homeless, living on the streets. And so I go over there, and as I was walking in, I noticed there was dogs tethered to the poles, and I asked, whose dogs are these? And they said, all the girls have dogs to protect them. And so I walked a little close, and actually one of the dogs came out and bit me. This is a true story. So it gets more interesting. They took care of me right away, and then I went in and talked to the girls and learned about what they were doing. And they said they had the dogs for protection because they were kind of giggling. You know, they thought it was kind of funny that the big guy was bitten. And so about 4 or 5 years later, I had this student intern who was getting her degree at the social work school at San Jose State. She was a graduate student doing internship in my office. And she signed up to work on the foster care program. And she says, well, Senator, I was a, I think it was Assemblyman at the time. She said, Assemblyman, I met you before. And I go, where'd you meet me? And she says, my dog bit you. So she was actually one of the homeless girls that grew up, got her degree. And I spoke a few years ago at Masters in Social Work. I gave the speech at her graduation. So I think she's now a social worker practicing in San Jose. So I think that, you know, the dogs are an important integral part of the safety and the therapy, I'd say. And the homeless, especially young women in the homeless population, we ought to look at it that way. It's just definitely, I don't know if you have any comments about that. I think what I'm saying is pretty much common throughout the state of California, but in her case, it was an essential. She lived on the streets for several years, had a dog, protected her. And I think it created that survival skill enough to go out and later get a master's degree in social work. So I support this.
Senator Penn.
Thank you. And first of all, I just want to recognize, I think you're my constituents both, in Sacramento. Yeah. Thank you so much for your leadership and your work. And I know many of the people also testified in favor as well. And I'm very supportive of this bill. I shared some of, I think, I appreciate Senator Jackson bringing up the issue about contagious diseases. Maybe one of the things we can do is, given what we already know, instead of every shelter sort of building it on their own, I realize you do have to hear about veterinary services, some guidelines perhaps that could go out with whatever grants in terms of what sort of screening and so forth based on best practices.
It's good.
Could be part of that. Again, it's about the safety and the shelter for the pets as well, of course, for the people who are there. But
yeah,
thank you.
Well, that's a smart idea.
Brooke, would you like to close?
I'll just say thank you for your consideration. This is, in your term, both ends of the leash bill. And, you know, on a dollar-for-dollar basis, if I had the guts, I'd make this a $50 million ask, because quite frankly, if you look at, if this is 10% of the population of folks who have pets and we can help to solve the problem based upon how much other resources we solve, who cares what the solution is? Don't fall in love with the don't fall in love with the with your solution. Fall in love with the problem, Senator Weiner, if you remember that. And so Google X. And so with that, I'd like to I guess we'll add on Senator Stone and Senator Weiner and anybody else who wants to add on as a co-author of this measure. I'd love to have you and ask for your vote. Oh, good. Thank you, Senator Bell. There you go.
Is there a motion for this bill? Okay.
Stone, Bell,
sorry.
And Weiner.
Missed that. Okay. The motion is to do pass as amended to Senate Appropriations Committee for SB 258. Secretary, please call the roll.
Hurtado?
Aye.
Hurtado, aye. Stone?
Aye.
Stone, aye. Bell?
Aye.
Bell, aye. Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye. Weiner?
Aye.
Weiner, aye. 6-0.
Thank you. Thank you
very
much. The vote is 6-0. The bill is out. So we will go ahead and move on to the consent calendar. We will vote on it. The only item on consent is SB 323 by Willock, the committee's. Secretary, please call the roll.
SB 333, Senator Wilk. The motion is due pass to Senate Housing with a recommendation to consent. Hurtado?
Aye.
Hurtado, aye. Stone?
Aye.
Stone, aye. Bell?
Aye.
Bell, aye. Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye. Weiner?
Aye.
Weiner, aye. 6-0.
The vote is 6-0, and the bill is out. And this ends today's committee hearing on for Human Services. Thank you so much.